Good morning. Hey, thanks for coming to church today. Nice to have you here with us. Before we get to the message, I've got a couple of announcements to share with you. And the first one is that Sunday, November the 6th, we're going to have a church breakfast and baptism. So if anyone here would be interested in being baptized, you need to speak with me or with Eric, and we would like to schedule that on Sunday, November the 6th. And we'll have breakfast starting at 8:30 a.m., our normal church time at 9:30, and then we'll incorporate the baptism as part of our church service. So church breakfast, baptism, Sunday, November the 6th. Come see me or Eric if you are interested in being baptized. Otherwise, it's going to be a church breakfast, and it'll still be a fun time, but come and talk with us. And then Community Service Fund. We have a Community Service Fund that right now is depleted. If you would like to give to that, you can make a check out to WCC in the memo, put CSM, standing for Community Service Fund, and we'll get those funds in our account to be able to help people who have physical material needs. Sometimes we'll get a call on the church machine. A group of people will meet with that person, will pray with that person, will kind of get to hear their story and what's happening in their life and tell them about the Lord. And then if we feel led, we will help them with the need that they have. So if you would like to give to that, please do that. Community Service Ministry here at WCC. Galatians 1, 11 through 24. Galatians chapter 1, 11 through 24. We've witnessed a dramatic change in Paul's life. He's gone from Saul the persecutor to Paul the preacher. He went from persecuting Jesus freaks to becoming a Jesus freak in Damascus. His change of heart has caused alarm in his old Jewish community and suspicion in the Jewish Christian community. Paul is trying to figure out exactly what this new revelation means for him in relationship with the Jesus hippie. He felt a tremendous need to stay connected to the source of his revelation. In other words, to develop his relationship with the risen Jesus. Galatians 1, 11 through 24. Paul writes to the Christians in Galatia, "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praised God because of me." Paul received the gospel from Jesus Christ. Look at verses 11 and 12. "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ." At the time of this writing, Paul is an established apostle, planting churches throughout the Gentile world, just as Jesus told him to do. Paul is now defending the gospel he preaches from another gospel being preached in Galatia. In the previous section of this letter, Paul expresses his astonishment that many Galatians were deserting his gospel for another gospel being peddled throughout the area. Now, scholars believe this other gospel came from a group of Jews called Judaizers, Jewish Christians who wanted to combine the gospel of Christ, Paul's gospel, with Jewish ceremonies and regulations, specifically circumcision and the ceremonial laws of Moses. Now, the word Judaizer means to live as a Jew in accordance with Jewish customs. And Paul alludes to this group in Galatians chapter 2, verse 14. The Judaizers taught that Gentiles must adopt Jewish rites and practices to belong to the people of God. And Paul taught against the Judaizers. Now, this will set the tone for the next section of our series, where we're going to examine Paul's view of the law, which Paul would be quick to remind us is the Lord's view of the law, not his own or anyone else's. But that'll be our next section in the series, Paul's view on the law. Paul wants the Galatian Christians to know that the message he preaches about Jesus came from Jesus, not another human being. In other words, the gospel he preaches is the very gospel of the Jesus hippie. Paul is clear that the gospel he preaches, he did not receive from any human being, nor was he taught it. Rather, he received it by revelation from Jesus. Paul's gospel message is unmediated revelation from Jesus himself. And so to reject the gospel is to reject the revelation of Jesus. And Jesus doesn't expect Gentiles to follow Jewish ceremonies and regulations. And that is good news for us, or we would be in big trouble. It's his word to the Gentiles, and we are Gentiles. Now, Paul reminds us that his encounter with Jesus changed him. Look at verses 13 and 14. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Paul reminds the Galatians of his previous way of life. He persecuted the church intensely, tried to destroy it. Paul wanted Christianity obliterated from the Jewish community. And Paul was recognized as advancing in Judaism, the top of his class. And he was extremely zealous for the traditions of the elders. Before he met Jesus Christ, Paul was climbing the religious ladder of success. He was advancing in Judaism beyond his peers. He studied the scriptures and knew them better than others his own age. He always gave the right answers, and he was zealous for keeping the traditions of the elders. He was serious and committed, the kind of student that everyone wants to have. He followed the law to a T, and he became the enforcer of Jewish doctrine and practice against Christianity, and he would personally ensure that the Jewish community remained true to the one true God of Israel. Then something happened which changed Paul's life. The Jesus hippie appeared to him and asked one question: why are you persecuting me? And after that encounter, Paul knew that the Jesus hippie was the Son of God. And he writes in verses 15 through 17, "But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Only later I returned to Damascus." Now, we've got a timeline issue to talk about here. Luke told us last week in the book of Acts that Paul stayed in Damascus, then went to Jerusalem. Luke didn't mention anything about Arabia. Paul says here that he went to Arabia, then later returned to Damascus, and then to Jerusalem. The difficulty is resolved easily enough. Luke didn't include Paul's visit to Arabia in his biography because that wasn't his main concern. His concern was to document the spread of Christianity throughout the Gentile world through Paul's official missionary efforts. And his time in Arabia wasn't part of his official missionary effort. And the simple truth is that Paul left for Arabia shortly after his conversion, stayed there for a period of time, then came back to Damascus and then Jerusalem to preach the gospel and start planting churches. And that's what Luke told us about last week in the book of Acts. Paul's years in Arabia were the silent years, which of course raises the question, what did Paul do in Arabia? Well, of course, we can only guess, but we have a clue in our text this morning. Look at the end of verse 16. My immediate response was not to consult any human being. Paul is referring to his encounter with the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. And Paul's response to meeting Jesus was not to consult any human being. Instead, he traveled to Arabia in a time of silence. Now again, put yourself in Paul's shoes. He's been on a rampage against Christianity in the name of God. Jesus strikes him blind and enlarges his vision of God. He's healed and commissioned to preach to the Gentile world. And we know that Paul is a zealous man, and he will take his newfound Christian faith just as seriously as he'd taken Judaism. And he knows that his change of disposition toward Jesus will put a target on his back. So he travels to Arabia to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. How could Jesus be the Son of God? How could Jesus be the Messiah of God? How did he miss it? What new thing was God doing? Writing about Paul's time in Arabia, scholar N.T. Wright says this, and I like the way he puts this. One thing we can be sure of is that Paul prayed, he studied, and he figured out all sorts of things. Faced with his letters, written a decade or more later, dense as they are with concentrated argument, we cannot imagine that when he wrote them, he was breaking entirely new ground. He gives every evidence of long pondering. Paul spent time in Arabia, in other words, figuring out the connection between Jesus and the Hebrew Scriptures. He read prophecies, zeroed in on passages about the Messiah, and prayed and thought and prayed and thought and prayed and thought. And he began to see references to the Jesus hippie all over the Hebrew Scriptures. Perhaps he also reviewed his life, reflected on the strengths and weaknesses of his character and how he might have done things differently. And he became humbler in character. Paul also may have been figuring out a more specific plan based on his vision. Jesus had told Ananias that Paul would proclaim his name among the Gentiles. How would Paul do that? And the Holy Spirit gave Paul the idea of planting churches throughout the Gentile world. So Paul's time in Arabia was a time to pray, think, reflect, and plan. And Paul's time in Arabia was fruitful to sort through his life and future as a Jesus freak. I mean, he's made a 180, and he took that time to commune with Jesus Christ. Now notice how Paul puts it in verse 15. God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Paul was confronted with God's grace in Damascus. And looking back, Paul knows he didn't deserve to be called by God. He persecuted God's people. He locked them up. He voted for them to be put to death. Paul was going the wrong direction with his efforts. He was working against God in the name of God. And it was only by God's grace that he's now included in God's plan for the world. And so Paul understands that his new life and mission in Christ is a pure gift of God. He did nothing to deserve it and everything to disqualify himself from it. And as we know, the grace of God will be a huge theme in Paul's writing and preaching. And he will tell the Gentile world that people are saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest anyone should boast. And so Paul contemplated the grace of God on his life while in Arabia, and he contemplated the grace of God for the life of every believer. This theme of grace is paramount in Paul's letters to the churches, and we'll look at many of those passages in the coming weeks. Verses 18 through 20. Paul defends his gospel as coming from Jesus himself, not the other apostles. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. And I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Paul has his encounter on the Damascus Road. He goes to Arabia to figure it all out. He returns to Damascus for 3 years, preaching that Jesus is the Son of God and proving from the Hebrew Scriptures that Jesus is the Messiah of God. He survives an attempt on his life, then goes to Jerusalem to meet with Peter and James. And Paul says, I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. And we have to ask ourselves the question, what kind of axe is Paul grinding here? Why is he so insistent that he only met Peter and James briefly in Jerusalem? Well, scholars believe he's been accused by the Judaizers of getting his information secondhand from the other apostles. Therefore, he should not be taken seriously as an apostle. And when you read the entire letter, it becomes clear that Paul's teaching of freedom and grace are under attack by the Judaizers. And Paul wants everyone to know that he got these teachings from the Jesus hippie, not from any other source. Paul has heard and seen the resurrected Christ, and the message that he preaches comes from the resurrected Christ. He was commissioned by the risen Christ. His teaching comes straight from Jesus and no one else. The Judaizers are arguing that Paul is merely telling people what they would prefer to believe. Oh, we're saved by grace through faith. It's not through good works. Everybody likes to hear that message. It makes things really easy. Life is easier if we don't need to concern ourselves with good works. Paul has clearly communicated that his gospel didn't come from humans, but from the resurrected Jesus. Therefore, Gentiles need to listen to what he says. It is about God's grace. It's not about good works. And it doesn't mean there's not a relationship between those two, but you're saved purely by the grace of God, not by doing good works. And Paul will make this clear in his letters. Well, the Gentiles do not need to adhere to Jewish laws and customs in order to be saved. Paul is against the Judaizers' attempts to force Gentile believers to think and act like Jews. Paul concludes this section, verses 21 through 24. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me. Well, Paul simply concludes this section that Christians heard the report that he who was formerly persecuting us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praise God because of it. By becoming known as the apostle of grace to the Gentiles, Paul has clearly turned away from his Pharisaic upbringing. And we see in Paul a new direction of thought and attitude. He's determined to stand up for grace against law. He's determined to anchor his teaching in a personal relationship with Christ led by the Spirit of the risen Christ. He will stand up for Gentiles knowing Christ through faith, not through Jewish law. And Paul is committed to the truth he received from Christ on the road to Damascus and the truth given to him by the Spirit of Christ in Arabia. And to argue against Paul is to argue against the revelation of the resurrected Jesus hippie. Paul's letters reflect the relationship given to him by Jesus, the revelation given to him by Jesus in Damascus and Arabia. Paul is clear about that. And when we read Paul, we're reading the revelation he received from the Jesus hippie. We're not reading Pharisaical, Judaizing Christianity. We're reading pure, unadulterated revelation for the Gentile community. Paul is thoroughly Christian, not semi-Christian or pseudo-Christian. He doesn't preach a form of hybrid Christianity. This is the pure revelation of Jesus for Gentiles. Now, we deduce this from Paul's own testimony and the testimony of others about him. And so we need to be clear that he's not taking us away from the revelation of Jesus, but centering us in the revelation of Jesus. He's not moving away from the Jesus hippie, but following close behind him. Jesus and Paul are on the same page. And if you understand Jesus correctly and you interpret Jesus correctly, you'll know Paul. They're on the same page. And too many times in Christian churches, Paul is interpreted in such a way that he seems removed from Jesus instead of congruent with Jesus. And Paul would argue boldly that he must be interpreted through Jesus, not apart from Jesus. There's no discrepancy between Paul and Jesus. Paul is a Jesus freak. He is centered in Jesus, about Jesus, worships Jesus, loves Jesus, follows Jesus, and teaches from the Spirit of Jesus. And the gospel he preached came from the Jesus hippie himself. You don't get Paul without Jesus. This version of Paul doesn't exist without Jesus. And Paul was not content to learn from others about the risen Christ, but went to Arabia to contemplate with Jesus about the revelation he received on the Damascus Road. And Paul would encourage us to do the same. Don't settle for secondhand information when firsthand information is available. You know, Paul would be aghast that we take his teachings and make them into a new form of strict religious law to control the thoughts and behaviors of others. And that's typically what we do with Paul, by the way. We keep him a Pharisee. It's just now that he's a New Testament Pharisee instead of an Old Testament Pharisee. He's not attempting to make us into little Christian Pharisees who enforce Christianity on people. Here's the point. Paul isn't a Pharisee anymore. Remember the passage from Philippians that we looked at a few weeks ago? And according to Paul, being a Pharisee is a big, stinking bag of garbage. And he compares his former way of life to a big, stinking sack of garbage. And Paul is trying to teach us to follow the Jesus he encountered in Damascus and Arabia. He's not a Pharisee anymore. Stop making Paul a Pharisee. And just like we make Jesus a Pharisee, we tend to make Paul a Pharisee. Jesus was not a Pharisee. Paul is not a Pharisee. Stop doing that. Just stop it. And we do it all the time. It has to be some kind of negative function of the human ego from the fall of mankind that we always turn crap negative. We just have that tendency to always turn things negative and controlling and judgmental. And Jesus is trying to free us from that. Paul is trying to free us from that when we understand him properly. Now, Paul would encourage us to locate our life within the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual experience for Paul, not purely academic exercise of biblical hermeneutics, though it included that. And whereas Paul contemplated with Jesus over the Hebrew Scriptures, we might contemplate with Jesus through the New Testament Scriptures, even the letters of Paul, which begs the question, do you ever take time away from everything to contemplate your life with Jesus Christ? Do you ever do that? Do you ever do that? Or are you content to get all your information secondhand? Do you rely on what other people say? Or do you revel in what Jesus says to you through his Spirit? Do you trust yourself with the Spirit of Jesus? Or do you need to rely on others to tell you what to believe and do? Now, I'm not saying that we can't grow or learn from others, but it must come through our own mind, soul, and heart and relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus is involved in your life, your story, in ways that are unique to you. Seek the Lord's will for your life. Do you ever do that? Is anything good happening in the silent times of your life? And when you get away, do you spend time reflecting, meditating, praying, thinking, and planning? Or is it just to let your hair down in a swimsuit and have a good time with a drink in your hand? I'm going to guess it's that one. That when we get away, just put a stiff drink in my hand. Put me by a pool. Give me the ocean. And I'm just going to let my hair down. And I'm not thinking about Jesus whatsoever. And I'm not saying you can't do that, but sometimes think about Jesus. Sometimes do the Arabia thing. Do you ever get away with Jesus to simply learn from the Spirit of Christ for you? For you. Your relationship with Christ, it's your relationship with Jesus. It's nobody else's. Do something about it. Do something with it. Grow in it. Develop it. Trust Christ with it. And we must develop our own personal relationship with the risen Christ and not just settle for secondhand information. But we should each be growing personally in our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what Paul would want for us. That's how Paul's going to encourage us. Are you where God wants you to be? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you pursuing what God wants you to pursue? Or are you just living life like everybody lives life? I hope it's not the latter, but that's my fear. That's my fear. Let's stand together and let's pray. Lord, Paul wants us to understand that he really had a come to Jesus meeting the road to Damascus. You confronted him in a powerful way, and you changed his life. He did a 180. He did become a Jesus freak in the most beautiful way. And he got away to Arabia in a time of silence, to pray, to contemplate, to think about you and about what the Bible said about you. And he put it all together in a way that he'd never seen it before. And it was an act of your grace for him. The light bulb went on. He became committed to you. Lord, everyone here probably claims you as our Lord and our Savior. But we are living like unbelieving human people. We need a come to Jesus meeting, and we need it quickly. May we too find our Arabia to get to know you in a more personal way and to receive our orders from you about who you want us to be and what you want us to do. Lord, like Paul, we have a big ego and we need to be humbled in order for that light bulb to glow brightly in our soul. And so, Lord, humble us and let us learn the beauty of what it means to be a Jesus freak. It's in your precious, holy, and eternal name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great week.